a shirt and pants, I'd corralled my unease to the back corners of my mind where it belonged. I headed to the kitchen but stopped halfway when a flash of movement caught my eye. I came to a dead halt. Sloane was exercising on the back deck, wearing a tank top and yoga pants. Yoga pants. It might seem normal to see someone wearing workout clothes to work out, but this was Sloane. I'd known her for 3 years, and I had never, not once, seen her in anything other than an evening dress or business wear. I was convinced she slept in those knife-sharp suits she favored so much. I walked closer, fascinated by the unnatural sight. Sloane switched from one impossible-looking yoga pose to another. Sunlight gilded her lithe form and turned her golden hair into a halo. She hadn't noticed me yet, which meant her expression didn't hold disdain, frustration, or general annoyance. It was nice, but also a little alarming, like seeing a lioness stripped of her claws. Her phone pinged with a new notification. My mouth twitched when she balanced herself so she could type out a reply with one hand before she resettled into her original position and closed her eyes. Impressive, I couldn't resist commenting. I leaned against the doorframe and pushed a hand into the pocket of my sweatpants. But you know the point of yoga is to relax, right? Sloane's eyes popped open again. Her head swiveled so she could glare at me.
How long have you been standing there?
She demanded. Ah, there's that comforting irritation. Let's see if we can notch it higher, shall we? Long enough to see you answer your phone, I tisked with disappointment. It's the first day and you're already breaking the rules. I expected more from you. My smile inched wider when she unfolded herself, stood, and came to a stop inches from me. This close, I could see flecks of gray in her blue eyes and smell a trace of her perfume. It was clean and light, like fresh linen with a hint of jasmine. There were things I shouldn't notice about a woman who tolerated me at best and despised me at worst. But I did. And once I noticed them, I couldn't stop thinking about them.
They weren't rules,
Sloane said.
They were mutually agreed conditions. Plus, it wasn't a work text. It was personal.
Let me guess, it was your date from the other night?
You're strangely obsessed with that date.
So it had been a date. I was unprepared for the little kick in my stomach, which I masked with a shrug. Nothing strange about it. You're notorious for turning down men.
Lucky me. Maybe they'll get a hint and leave me alone.
Sloane abandoned her yoga session and brushed past me into the living room. I trailed after her. So, your first vacation in years. What are your plans for the day? I'd made a wild guess about the last time she took off work, but she didn't correct me, which was damn sad. People could scold me for not living up to my potential, but at least I wasn't chained to my inbox in the whims of others.
I haven't decided yet. Perhaps I'll finish my book.
Her eyes flicked around at our luxurious surroundings. The three-bedroom villa boasted an infinity pool, a jacuzzi, and access to a private beach. But she seemed unimpressed by all of it. The book you were reading on the plane? I asked in disbelief. 25 Principles of Crisis Communications, that book? Pink colored her cheeks and the bridge of her nose.
It's the latest edition.
Jesus. The CIA couldn't torture me into reading that book, and she was doing it for fun. I'd assumed that once she arrived in Majorca, the island would work its magic, and she'd automatically loosen up. Obviously, that wasn't the case. If I wanted to see a different side of her, I had to coax it out of her. Otherwise, she'd spend the week buried in some boring non-fiction book and the entire trip would go to waste. The chances of me convincing Sloane to take off work again in the future were slim to none, which meant this was my one opportunity to drag her out of her comfort zone. I chose not to examine why doing that was so important to me. Sometimes it was better not to ask questions I wouldn't like the answers to. Fuck that. You're at the best resort in Majorca. You need to take advantage of it. An idea popped up in my head. I have just the thing. Let's go. Sloane didn't budge.
I'm not day drinking with you.
Not everything I do involves partying. My grin made a wicked return. You'll love this, I promise.
I do not love this.
The heat of Sloane's glare rivaled the 150-degree air billowing around us.
I do not love this at all.
See, that's exactly the type of frustration we're working on today. I leaned back and laced my hands behind my head. It'll be tough, but we will pull that stick out of your ass. Sloane's eyes narrowed, and I almost patted her down to ensure she hadn't smuggled in a hairpin that she could fashion into a weapon. Since that would be rude and I valued my life, I kept my hands to myself. After I convinced her to leave her ridiculous nonfiction book in the villa, I dragged her to the resort's restaurant for breakfast, followed by a trip to the spa. If anyone needed a good massage, it was her. Fortunately, the spa had one package available at the last minute. Unfortunately, it was a couple's package, which was how Sloane and I ended up in a private igloo dry sauna together, kickstarting the first of many stops on our signature honeymoon ritual. Sloane had put up a hell of a fight, but between my irresistible charm and the spa concierge's firm but gentle insistence, she'd reluctantly caved.
Is this all you do with your days?
She glanced around the cedar-paneled room. No, I also eat, sleep, and fuck. My lips curved when she stiffened at the word fuck. If you tried it sometime, you might be less uptight. Newsflash, Luna, your headaches aren't from your hair. Even now, her blonde locks were slicked back in a bun tight enough to cut off circulation. It's from pent-up tension.
Wrong. My headaches are from dealing with you.
She shifted, and I tried not to notice the way her towel slipped the tiniest bit. Not enough to reveal anything scandalous, but enough to make my imagination run wild.
Besides, I'm plenty happy with my sex life, which is more than your bedmates can say, I'm sure.
Something dark and unidentifiable stirred behind my ribcage. Fucking breakfast. I should have known better than to eat the last piece of sausage at the buffet. I better not have food poisoning or I was suing the resort. They've never had complaints, but is that any way to speak to a client? I drawled.
You're not my client. Your family is. You're merely the trade-off for one of my most lucrative contracts.
Ouch. Treat a girl to a luxury spa and get verbally attacked in return. Decorum doesn't exist anymore. Sloane rolled her eyes.
I'm sure there are plenty of women here who'd be happy to stroke your ego. Our server at breakfast, for example. I was afraid she'd fly away from how fast she was batting her eyes at you.
A smile stole across my face, erasing the surprise sting from her trade-off comment. I didn't realize you paid that much attention to who flirted with me.
I'm your publicist. It's my job to pay attention to everything about you.
My smile melted into something slower, more languid. Everything, huh? I'd meant it as a joke, but when her gaze touched mine, oxygen thinned in a way that had nothing to do with the heat. Sloane was beautiful, fact. I'd been physically attracted to her since the moment we met, also fact. But it had been a slow simmering attraction, the type I could brush off by focusing on something else. Recently, however, it had ramped up to the point where there was nothing else. I didn't know the reason for the change, but I knew that right now, as we sat in the sauna I'd stupidly insisted on going into, I looked at her and couldn't breathe. Sloane swallowed. Beads of sweat trickled down her throat and disappeared into the shadow of her towel. She didn't respond to my innuendo, and the silence hummed beneath my skin like tiny bolts of electricity. If I stood, it would take 5 steps to reach her. If I lifted my hand, it would take 2 seconds to touch her. If... You never answered my question yesterday. My abrupt statement severed the spell, but my pulse continued to pound and my hands instinctively curled around the edge of my seat. Fuck, this wasn't what I'd had in mind when I dragged Sloane to Spain with me. I enjoyed flirting with her, but there was a difference between flirting and... whatever the hell happened in the past 2 minutes. She blinked, seemingly thrown off by the sudden change in atmosphere.
About what?
Your bracelet. She wore the same friendship bracelet from last night. Sloane was a Cartier girl. Friendship bracelets weren't exactly her vibe. You left the gala without it and showed up at Neon with it. If it's a gift from your mystery lover, you might have to upgrade. Find someone who can buy you real jewelry.
It's the thought that counts, not the carrots.
The only people who say that are people who can't afford carrots. But even the stupidest guy wouldn't gift someone like Sloane a piece of kid's jewelry. Unless... Who did you really go see? I asked softly. Sloane's face darkened. I didn't get a reply, nor had I expected one. But I could guess. There was only one topic that made her shut down. Her family. Everyone knew about the Kensingtons' estrangement. They were New York society staples, and barrels of ink had been spilled over the rift between investment tycoon George Kensington III and his eldest daughter. The cause of said rift had been a topic of speculation for years. Had she visited her family after the gala? If so, who'd gifted her that bracelet, and why? Obviously, it had to be someone she cared about or she wouldn't wear it. But from what I understood, her separation from her family had been ugly. She hadn't talked to another Kensington in years. Sloane's eyes stayed on mine, her emotions inscrutable beneath their wintry blue depths. It was as if she were physically restraining herself from looking away lest I mistook the move for weakness. Little did she know there was nothing she could do that I'd mistake for weakness. She was one of the strongest people I knew, and only a fool would think otherwise. The minutes ticked by. The longer the silence stretched, the more I wanted to dig beneath her stoic facade until I reached the real her. The one with flaws and insecurities like everyone else, not the perfect CEO she projected to the world. Come on, Luna. Give me something. A shadow crossed her face, and just when I thought she'd provide some sort of answer, the heater shut off, indicating our time in the sauna was up. I blinked, ending our unwitting stare down. Sloane's expression hardened again before she stood and walked to the exit. Okay, good talk, I said, following her. My voice sounded abnormally loud after the silence. I learned a lot about you, thanks.
You're the one who said this trip is supposed to be relaxing.
She twisted the door handle.
Being interrogated isn't relaxing.
Interrogated is a strong word, I muttered, but fair enough. Honestly, I didn't know why I cared so much about a stupid bracelet. So what if it had to do with her family? My own family dynamics were shitty enough without me worrying about someone else's. You can open the door any time now, I said when Sloane didn't move. I don't want to miss a second of my massage. She turned, and my stomach dropped at her tight expression.
I can't,
she said.
The door is jammed. We're stuck. Chapter 6. Sloane. On my list of worst ways to die, overheating half-naked in a sauna with Javier Castillo ranked somewhere between medieval torture and getting eaten alive by piranhas, which was why it was not going to happen. I tried the handle again. Still jammed. Damn it. If we had our phones, we could call the front desk, but we don't, I muttered. That was why I brought my phone everywhere. I didn't care about screen addiction. At least it could save my life if and when the occasion arose.
Sloane.
There's nothing heavy enough to break the door unless I push you through it. Tempting. He sighed.
Sloane, there's...
We could hope someone finds us when the next appointment shows up, but who knows when that'll be? The spa is fully booked, but that doesn't mean...
Sloane.
Javier grabbed my shoulders and turned me around.
There's an emergency button for these situations.
I followed his gaze to the wall. Sure enough, the button was right there, mounted on a piece of wood. How the hell had I missed that? Embarrassment scorched my cheeks. I blamed the sauna. That much heat in a confined space couldn't be healthy. I managed to retain a shred of dignity as I pressed the button, mostly by ignoring Javier's shit-eating grin. The staff came quickly after that, averting our potential demise. However, even though we weren't in danger anymore, the possibility of dying next to Javier, no matter how fleeting, did not bode well for the rest of the trip.
I think it's a great start to the week.
he said as we walked to our couple's massage. The spa concierge had been so apologetic about the sauna lock-in that she'd added an extra half hour to our treatment.
We survived death. It can only go uphill from here.
I pushed him into a nearby bush. It was pure pettiness on my part, but it felt good. If it weren't for him, I would be sitting happily in my office in New York, putting out fires instead of relaxing. To my disgruntlement, Javier didn't fall. He merely stumbled into the hedge, and his laugh followed us into our massage room, where I made a point not to look at him as we disrobed. I'd already seen him half-naked in the sauna, but it was hard to ignore the glimpses of tanned skin and sculpted muscle out of the corner of my eye. The fact he was built like a Greek god when he did nothing except lounge around and party proved there was no justice in the universe. We settled on our respective tables in silence. I couldn't see him, but I could feel him 2 feet away. His presence filled the room, unearthing memories from our short-lived but unnerving sauna adventure. There'd been a moment, just one, when I looked at Javier and my heart skipped a beat. Who did you really go see? There'd also been a moment, just one, when I almost answered truthfully. Maybe it was the lack of judgment in his face, or maybe the heat had melted my brain. That was far more likely. My lids drifted closed as our massage therapists re-entered the room and worked out our knots, but I couldn't shut off my brain. How many emails had piled up in my inbox in the past hour? I'd never gone this long without checking my phone. What if my office was on fire? That was the thing about working in a skyscraper. You were subject to the idiocy of other tenants, many of whom didn't understand the basic tenets of fire safety. Speaking of idiocy, what if Asher Donovan crashed another car? Did Jillian remember to send Ayana our terms of engagement? Was Isabella feeding the fish properly? Isabella wasn't an idiot, but I had specific instructions for taking care of my pet goldfish, and she tended to get lost in her own world when she was in the middle of writing a book. Anxiety spurred my heart rate into an agitated gallop. "You're very stressed," my therapist said softly. Her hands worked magic on my back and shoulders, but the poor woman would need a full week to fix all my knots. "I'm from New York," I said as an explanation. Everyone was stressed. The only people who weren't were the lazy—
That's not an excuse.
Javier's interjection destroyed my cocoon of attempted bliss.
I'm from New York and I don't walk around with headaches every day.
I lifted my head to glare at him, but my therapist's warning tsk forced me back down. First of all, you're not from New York. You're from Bogota. Second of all, you know nothing about my health. Third of all— Turn over, please, my therapist said. I obeyed with more force than necessary. Third of all, you're not stressed because you don't do anything. You just sit there and spend your family's money and look pretty. It was harsh, but a trust fund kid lecturing me was my last straw. Yes, I'd also grown up with money and all the privileges that came with it, but I gave that up when I left my family. Everything I had now, I'd earned. Javier never had to work for a single thing in his life. He had no right criticizing my choices, stress levels, or anything about me.
So,
he said,
you think I'm pretty?
You breathe. My massage therapist pressed down on my shoulders. That's it. Release the tension from your shoulders. Her gentle tone slowly smoothed the edges of my irritation. I inhaled a deep breath and swallowed an acerbic reply. I prided myself on maintaining my composure at all times, but Javier was the only person who could make me lose my cool.
Seriously, you have enough money to step back and let your staff take the reins,
he said.
Why kill yourself at your job?
Don't take the bait. I like my job, for the most part, but between Javier and Asher, who had a penchant for fast cars and reckless driving, I was pushing my friend's therapy skills to the limit. I used to have a professional, non-massage therapist, but she retired, and I've hated every new one I tried after her. Maybe I should resume my search. God knew I needed one.
What do you like about it?
Javier must have missed the memo that massages were meant to be silent. Everything.
Bullshit. You don't like me.
His response was so frank and unexpected, I almost smiled. Almost. Fine. I like fixing things. Solving problems no one else can solve. Crisis management was only part of my job, but it gave me the biggest thrill. Writing press releases and managing media relations was fine, but I could do those things in my sleep.
So you like to be needed?
I turned my head before my therapist could stop me. Javier met my gaze with a knowing one of his own, and there it was again. A little skip in my chest, followed by the unnerving sense that he could see right past the shields I'd painstakingly built over the years. Then I blinked, and the moment was gone. I faced forward again and waited for my heartbeat to normalize before I spoke. Don't you get bored of doing nothing? I didn't touch on the keenness of his observation or the truth behind it. I expected Javier to brush off my question with his usual flippancy, but he answered with surprising honesty.
Sometimes,
he said, sounding uncharacteristically subdued.
But I'm good at doing nothing, so I stick to it. It's better than fucking things up.
I closed my eyes, listening to the faint crash of waves outside the window and the deep, steady breaths of the man next to me. We didn't talk again after that. 3 hours, one facial, one lunch, and one extremely awkward aromatherapy soak for two later, I emerged from the spa marginally less stressed than when I walked in. I hated to admit it, but the day had helped. I even stopped worrying about my neglected inbox halfway through ignoring Javier while we floated in a lavender-scented tub together. Neither of us brought up anything substantial after our massage talk, but I kept thinking about what he'd said. I'm good at doing nothing, so I stick to it. It's better than fucking things up. Javier was unmotivated, but he wasn't dumb. If he tried, he could probably run circles around the people sitting in the Castillo Group's boardroom. Plus, he had an ample cushion of money and connections. Why would he be so afraid of screwing up that he didn't try? I cast a sideways glance at him. He didn't make any quips on our walk back to the villa, but my concern over his silence gave way to horror when we reached our home for the week. What? My mouth parted as I stared at the sprawling building. When we left that morning, it had been a peaceful oasis of pale stone and floor-to-ceiling windows. Now, it resembled a frat house. Spanish music blasted from deep within the interior, and the scent of booze overpowered the wildflowers surrounding the entrance. A pretty brunette in a bikini raced through the half-open door and shrieked as a Chris Hemsworth lookalike doused her in champagne. Squeals and laughter echoed from deeper in the villa, followed by the splash of someone jumping into the pool.
Javi, there you are,
the Hemsworth lookalike called out.
Hope you don't mind that we started the party without you.
I wheeled around and glared at Javier.
I forgot to mention my friends are joining us.
He had the grace to look embarrassed.
One of them just broke up with his girlfriend. We're trying to make him feel better.
Was he freaking kidding me? He can feel better in his own villa. This is a shared space. I pointed at the building and tried to breathe through the bubbling anger in my chest. I didn't consent to having a bunch of strangers overrun my hotel room for the week. Shut it down.
I would, but my friends are, difficult to dislodge once they've settled into a party.
Javier shrugged.
It'd be a waste of energy, trust me.
The knots my massage therapist spent 90 minutes kneading out returned with a vengeance. Since they're your friends, that sounds like a you problem. A headache hammered at the sides of my skull. I swear to God, Javier, if they're not out of here in the next 15 minutes, I'm calling the police and having them arrested for trespassing.
Don't think that'll fly. One of them is the president's niece.
Javier paused.
President of Spain,
he clarified. Then the president can come here and bail her out. I jabbed a finger at his chest, so pissed I could barely see straight. This wasn't what I agreed to when we made our deal. Figure out a way to fix this, or I'm leaving on the next flight out. His insouciance fell away, replaced by what looked like true regret.
Shit, I'm sorry, Luna. I honestly forgot that.
He glanced at the villa.
Look, I'll make you a new deal.
No. Javier pressed on, undeterred.
Let them stay today. I wasn't kidding when I said it's impossible to move them after they get the party going. I already see two people passed out in the hall.
A quick peek confirmed his statement.
In return, I promise not to throw another party for the next month unless you've approved it.
That's not a good deal, I said flatly. He must take me for a naive newborn.
2 months.
No.
3 months. Come on.
He coaxed.
Think of how much easier your job would be if you didn't have to worry about me setting a bar on fire or getting shut down by the cops.
I pursed my lips. Javier's parties tended to spiral out of control. All the bad press he'd gotten in the past was linked to one of his infamous soirees. If I could prevent him from hosting them in the first place, that'd be a load off my plate. No unapproved parties for 6 months, I said, making up my mind. Giving up one afternoon was worth months of potential peace and quiet down the road, hopefully. We're putting it in writing, and your friends have to be out by midnight tonight.
6 months? Are you fucking kidding?
Javier's mouth snapped shut when I narrowed my eyes.
Fine,
he muttered.
You have a deal.
Good. I spun back around toward the villa and prayed I hadn't just made a huge mistake. I can't believe you invited me on a heartbreak trip with your friends.
Hey, a trip can serve multiple purposes. The more the merrier,
he called after me as I stormed inside. Prickles crawled over my skin at the cushions littering the floor and the half-empty alcohol bottles crowding every available surface. The knickknacks I'd reorganized to geometric perfection that morning had been knocked askew, and scantily clad men and women were... Oh, God. I did not need to see that. I averted my eyes from the couple on the couch and zeroed in on a familiar face. Luca? Luca Russo blinked at me from the corner, his surprise mirroring my own.
Sloan? What are you doing here?
I could ask you the same question. Luca was my best friend Vivian's brother-in-law. The second son of the massive Russo luxury goods fortune, he'd been a mainstay in Javier's circle until he cleaned up his act a few years ago, stopped partying, and started working for his family's company. Apparently, he'd fallen off the wagon again.
I'm here to mend my broken heart.
He slumped dramatically in his armchair.
Leaf and I broke up. She moved to a goat farm in Tennessee.
Isn't she vegan?
She's there to save the goats.
Oh. I didn't know Luca or Leaf well enough to muster more than an inkling of sympathy. Besides, I'd never liked his ex-girlfriend's holier-than-thou new-age hippie vibes. How tragic. Now the poor goats had to put up with her savior complex.
It's okay. That's why I'm here. To feel better.
He took a swig of beer.
Oh, hey, Javi.
Javier came up beside me.
I forgot you know each other.
There was a strange note in his voice, but when I glanced at him, he turned away.
Here.
He handed me an unopened bottle from a nearby table.
I have a feeling you're going to need this.
I couldn't do it anymore. After I rejected Javier's beer, made him sign a hastily drawn-up contract for our latest deal, locked myself in my room, read about the sixth principle of crisis communications, and confirmed with the resort and every other resort within a 5-mile radius that there were no available rooms for the night, I gave up trying to pretend Javier and friends didn't exist. I wanted to stay in my room, but I couldn't stop thinking about what Javier said during our massage. So you like to be needed. Who didn't like to be needed? Being needed meant we were good at and good for something. People didn't leave those they needed. It wasn't the same as being loved, but it was better than nothing. There was a lot to unpack there, but since I had no desire to do that, I finally wandered outside and joined the party, if only so I didn't have to be alone with my thoughts. The festivities had migrated from our living room to the private beach after sunset, and the bonfire made it easy for me to locate the heart of the party. Javier's eyebrows shot up when he saw me, but he didn't stop me from downing my first, second, or third glass of sangria. If I were to survive the night around him and his friends, I needed to be very drunk. However, despite my presence, I held off on actually participating in the revelry until Luca spotted me and attempted to drag me from my seat by the bonfire.
"You have to dance,"
he insisted.
"It's one of the island's rules."
I didn't budge. Rules are meant to be broken.
"I didn't expect a cliche from you, of all people."
His cheeks were flushed from alcohol, and a sparkle brightened his eyes. Realization dawned. He was flirting with me. With his dark hair and olive skin, Luca was certainly good-looking enough, but I searched for any flicker of attraction and found none. Even if I were attracted to him, I had no interest in being a rebound hookup. I like to surprise people every once in a while. I glanced across the bonfire circle and caught Javier's eye. He was sandwiched between the brunette from earlier and her twin. He appeared uninterested in what they were saying, but when he saw me looking, his gaze flicked to Luca before he turned to face one of the twins. He'd left me alone since we arrived at the beach, which I was obviously grateful for. It wasn't like I needed his company.
"Still, you can't sit on the sidelines for this song."
Luca's voice brought my attention back to him.
"It's practically illegal."
The twins burst into laughter at something Javier said. His dimples flashed, and one of them placed her hand on his arm. I suppressed an eye roll. I doubted anything he said was that funny. I tried to tune out the party around me and focus on the sound of the waves, but Luca continued pestering me until my headache reached new heights and I'd do anything, even freaking dance, to get him to stop. I should have stayed in my room. "Stop talking!" I held up a hand, cutting him off mid-sentence. "If I dance for one song, will you go away?" Maybe that was a bit rude, but I was grumpy, annoyed, and not nearly drunk enough. I wasn't in the mood to coddle anyone's feelings. Luca appeared unfazed by my sharp response.
"Sure."
"Fine." I stood, my irritation escalating when the twins laughed again at something else Javier said. You'd think he was a one-man Saturday Night Live show by the way they were carrying on. "But I need another drink first." Luca and I swung by the beach bar for the resort's signature cocktail, which was thankfully stronger than the sangria. However, my renewed buzz wasn't enough to erase my self-consciousness when we hit the makeshift dance floor. I'd never been a great dancer. I took the requisite ballet lessons as a kid and stopped when Madame Olga dismissed me as one of her most difficult pupils. I tried ballroom dancing when I was older and didn't fare much better. When I went out with my friends, I could lose myself in our group and not worry about how stupid I looked. But I didn't have Vivian, Isabella, or Alessandra to shield me here. It was just me, the music, and a dozen pair of eyes that were inexplicably trained on me.
"Whoa."
Luca half laughed, half winced when I accidentally stepped on his foot. He steadied me with a hand on my hip.
"Maybe we shouldn't have gotten that drink earlier."
My cheeks heated. The song hadn't finished, and I already regretted my decision.
"It's okay."
Despite his drunkenness, Luca picked up on my embarrassment.
"Here."
He placed his other hand on my hip.
"Let's try Don't Bother."
My spine stiffened at the familiar voice behind me.
"You're so drunk you'll be lucky if you don't take both of you down."
An edge ran beneath Javier's otherwise affable tone.
"Why don't you sober up and come back?"
Luca glanced at his friend, then at me. He dropped his hands and stepped back.
"Good idea."
I crossed my arms and didn't move while Javier came around to face me.
"Here I thought you were perfect at everything."
The edge was gone, replaced by a teasing lilt.
"I need to give you dance lessons. Can't have you making me look bad in front of my friends."
He'd changed out of his earlier outfit into a white linen shirt and casual pants. Here, in the glow of the firelight, with his hair tousled by the wind and his muscles loose from drink and relaxation, he was disturbingly, devastatingly attractive. Freed from the weight of sobriety, I could even admit that my dislike of him partly stemmed from envy. What was it like to live life so carefree every day? To not worry about being perceived by others or being good enough, successful enough, impactful enough to justify my existence. My throat dried before I shook off the unwanted thoughts. Look bad. I covered up the momentary lapse in my defenses with a defiant chin tilt. I'm the one who apparently can't dance, not you.
We can change that. I've been told I'm an excellent instructor.
Doubtful.
You always underestimate me.
And you always provoke me. He gave a casual shrug.
I like it when you get mad. Proves you're not an ice queen after all.
My buzz disappeared fast enough for me to feel the punch of his words. If you weren't such an ice queen all the time, maybe I wouldn't have gone looking elsewhere. She's hot, but I bet she's frigid in bed. For God's sake, Sloane, smile. Why can't you look happy for once? The pressure returned. A lump crawled into my throat, but as always, my eyes remained dry. No wonder people called me an ice queen. I couldn't even show emotion properly. Javier must have noticed the sudden shift in my mood because his smile vanished.
Hey, I wasn't—
I have to go. I pushed past him, my chest tight. His hand touched my shoulder.
Sloane—
Don't touch me and do not follow me. I injected my trademark coldness into my words. Enjoy the rest of the party. I shrugged him off and didn't stop walking until I had locked myself in my bathroom and turned the shower on at full blast. I didn't care that I'd already showered a few hours ago. I needed something to drown out the noise in my head. I pressed my forehead against the tile and closed my eyes. I stayed there until the lump in my throat dissolved, and as droplets of water cascaded down my face, I pretended they were tears.
Chapter 7. Javier. I didn't sleep well for the second night in a row. Instead of the bridge dream, I was haunted by images of Sloane's face before she left last night. What the hell had I said wrong? She usually took my comments in stride, and she never left a conversation when I had the upper hand. She couldn't be that upset about a stupid bad dancer joke, right? My foul mood worsened when I woke to an empty villa. Her luggage was still in her room, but she was a ghost from morning to early evening. I tried to put Sloane out of my mind and focus on Luca. He'd been pretty bummed since he and Leaf broke up, though my sympathy for him had dwindled when I saw him flirting with my fucking publicist at the beach. She wasn't even his type. I brooded over my drink while my friends engaged in their usual shenanigans at the resort's private beach club. I should be having the time of my life. But ennui had grabbed hold of me and refused to let go. I'd seen it all and done it all. After the initial rush of a good time, these parties were all the same. I could have given the club owner some tips on how to improve. The sound system wasn't picking up the music's underlying bass and the girl-to-guy ratio was off. The decor, the entertainment, the food, they were good, not great. But how people ran their business wasn't my business. So I kept my mouth shut. Don't you get bored of doing nothing? Sloane's question echoed in my head. I pushed it aside, downed my drink, and faced Luca, who lounged next to me by the pool, nursing a hangover and a beer. The sun had set, but the beach club was just getting into the swing of things. Dante know you're hanging out with us again? Luca's brother and CEO of the Russo Group, the multi-billion-dollar luxury goods conglomerate, wasn't a fan of anyone in our circle. Honestly, I didn't blame him. If I'd had a younger brother, I wouldn't want him hanging out with me either. He's not my warden. Nevertheless, Luca glanced around like the intimidating older Russo was going to pop out from behind a potted plant. I get vacation days like everyone else, and I can spend them however I like. Speaking of which, where's Sloane? An unpleasant burn ignited in my chest. Probably reading a boring nonfiction book somewhere. Why? Luca shrugged. She's hot, she's single. I could use a distraction from the leaf situation. The burn exploded into a wildfire and set my teeth on edge. She's not the rebound type. How do you know? I just do. I slammed my empty drink on the side table. Go for the Doherty twins. They're looking for a good time. Can't. Their family is in textiles, which reminds me of goats, which reminds me of Leaf. For fuck's sake. What about Evelyn? She just broke up with her boyfriend. You can rebound together. Nah, I hooked up with her years ago. Luca stared up at the sky with a drunk, dreamy expression. I think Sloane works best. She's so... shit! He bolted upright when I knocked over a champagne ice bucket and its contents spilled across his chest. What the fuck, man? Sorry. Must have had more to drink than I thought. I stood. I didn't know why the idea of him and Sloane bothered me so much, but I knew I needed to get out of here before I did something more unforgivable than dousing my friend in ice. I'm calling it a night. Wait, what about... The crowd drowned out the rest of Luca's words as I stormed out of the beach club and toward the villa. I'd convinced Sloane to come to Spain, hoping it would break her from her comfort zone. But I was turning out to be the one in over my head.
Sloane. By the time I woke up, I'd already brushed off my moment of weakness from last night. But I wasn't in the mood to face Javier or his friends, who were thankfully staying at their own villa instead of ours. So I actively avoided them all day. I woke up at the crack of dawn for a hike, holed myself up in a conference room for lunch, and waited until Javier left for the beach club before I snuck back to the villa. It was early evening, so I had a few hours to myself before he returned. I was tempted to work, but I'd promised him I wouldn't, and a pesky sense of honor prevented me from going back on my word. Instead, I curled up beneath a blanket in the living room and watched the Spanish rom-com on screen with increasing disgust.
Te amo,
the actor whispered in Spanish. English subtitles translated what he said.
Nunca te dejaré. I'll never leave you.
Ugh, I scribbled furiously in my review notebook. Film an after-the-movie special and see if that's really true. Romantic comedy was the most unrealistic genre in Hollywood. Falling off a seventh-floor balcony and getting up a minute later to chase after the bad guy was more believable than workplace rivals who suddenly discover they have feelings for each other and live happily ever after. The concept of happily ever after was the biggest scam since the advent of the overpriced college textbook industry.
It's not The Bachelor, Luna. The after-the-movie special would just be the actors leaving set.
My head snapped up. Javier leaned against the entryway, wearing a pair of linen pants, an amused expression, and nothing else. It's rude to sneak up on someone, I said, my pulse pounding from his unexpected interruption. Give me a heart attack, why don't you? And for God's sake, put on a shirt. You're not Matthew McConaughey. His laugh did nothing to ease my annoyance. 2 minutes later, he dropped onto the seat next to mine, fully clothed.
Happy? Now you won't be distracted by my incredible physique.
No, I'll just suffocate beneath the weight of your inflated ego.
There are worse ways to go.
I sighed, my prospects of a quiet, peaceful evening going up in smoke. Isn't there a party at the beach club? Why are you here? Our deal prevented him from hosting parties without my approval, but they didn't stop him from attending them. That was another oversight on my part. I'm losing my touch. Something about Spain muddled my usually sharp instincts, and it put me on edge.
I was at the club all day, and I wanted a change of scenery.
Javier glanced at my notebook.
What have you been up to?
Relaxing, I said pointedly.
Touché.
He rubbed a hand over his mouth. His expression conflicted.
Listen, about last night. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. You aren't that bad of a dancer.
I would have laughed at the idea that I was upset over my dancing skills if I hadn't been so thrown off by his apology. So few people apologized and meant it that a simple I'm sorry stripped away my knee-jerk defensiveness. Thank you, I said stiffly. I didn't correct his assumption about the source of my upset.
You're welcome.
His eyes crinkled at the corners when I didn't tack on a snarky reply.
Wait, are we having a bonding moment? Is this the start of a new Javier and Sloane era?
Don't push it. I tapped my pen against my notebook. By the way, how's Luca doing? I'd texted Vivian earlier about seeing him in Spain, and she'd mentioned how concerned she and Dante were about him. I'd promised to update her on his well-being if and when I could. Javier's dimples disappeared.
Fine.
He shifted, his leg brushing mine. I was so startled by the contact I almost yanked my knee away before I caught myself.
I didn't realize you two were so close.
We're not. I was just curious. A burn spread from my knee up to my stomach. Huh. I knew I should have worn more sunscreen while hiking. A shadow crossed Javier's face. He opened his mouth, then gave a small shake of his head like he'd changed his mind about whatever he was going to say.
So what's the movie about?
Office rivals who fall in love. Your basic rom-com. A whiff of his cologne floated into my lungs, and I wished it didn't smell as good as it did. People like Javier should only smell like day-old beer and pizza. It would be a more accurate representation of his lifestyle than this clean, woodsy thing he had going on.
I didn't peg you as a rom-com lover.
His leg brushed mine again, and I glared at it for a second before answering. Note to self, buy more sunscreen ASAP. The continued burn on my skin wasn't normal. I'm not. I hate watch them. My drawer of handwritten movie reviews at home attested to that.
Right. And how many have you hate-watched so far?
Hundreds, but he didn't need to know that. Shut up and watch the movie. However, as I rewound the parts I'd missed when he showed up, a teeny tiny part of me was grateful for his company, unwanted leg grazes and all. It was a little sad to watch rom-coms alone while on vacation in Spain, even for me. I never had movie nights with anyone other than my friends, but Javier was a surprisingly fun companion. He was mostly quiet, but every once in a while he'd toss out a blithe remark about the plot or acting that made me smirk. As a client, he was difficult. But as a person, he was decent. I'd never heard him raise his voice once in our time working together. When he found out about his father's cancer diagnosis, he hadn't cried. And when an ex leaked lurid photos of them to the press, he hadn't sought vengeance the way I would have. He was unflappable no matter what life threw his way. And again, maybe his preternatural calm wasn't a good thing. Maybe it was a different manifestation of the same issues that kept me guarded from anyone outside my inner circle. Ugh. The only thing sadder than watching a rom-com alone on vacation was psychoanalyzing Javier while watching said rom-com.
What do you keep writing in your notebook?
He asked during the movie's obligatory post-breakup montage of the couple's relationship. A needle of self-consciousness pricked my skin. I debated lying, but eventually opted for the truth. I write reviews of all the rom-coms I watch. It was nothing to be ashamed of. If Roger Ebert could do it, so could I. But nerves rattled in my veins when Javier leaned over to read my notes.
The film strives for charm but falls flat in its attempt,
he read aloud.
Although fiction generally requires some suspension of disbelief, the utter ridiculousness of the balcony scene gives me so much secondhand embarrassment, I want to bleach my memory so I never have to think about it again. I have more chemistry with my bedroom lamp than the lead actors have with each other, and the dialogue sounds like that of a parody rather than an actual romantic comedy. If AI wrote and performed a movie, it would look like this.
He was quiet for a second before looking at me.
What the hell have you been doing with your bedroom lamp?
Laughter rustled my throat, so quick and unexpected it took me a second to realize the sound came from me. Shock flashed across Javier's face, followed by a slow bloom of pleasure. An answering warmth pooled in my stomach. Turning it on, I said in response to his question. I cringed before the words fully left my mouth. Oh God, that was terrible. His howl of laughter drowned out my next words. Do not ever tell anyone I said that. Stop laughing.
Don't worry.
His shoulders convulsed as he wiped tears from his eyes.
It'll be our little secret.
It wasn't that funny, I grumbled. I tried to maintain my sternness, but his amusement was contagious, and soon another smile cracked my face. If someone had told me 2 days ago that I'd have a movie night with Javier Castillo and enjoy it, I would have asked what drugs they were on. But Friday's gala and visit with Penny seemed like a lifetime ago. Perhaps that was why I rarely went on vacation. It lulled us into a false sense of security, only to thrust us back into our regular lives, where we were confronted with a world that kept spinning without us, and the realization that our presence didn't matter at all in the grand scheme of things. My mood sobered.
You know, rom-coms aren't supposed to be realistic.
Javier wasn't over my review.
They're supposed to be entertaining.
They would be more entertaining if they were realistic. I pointed at the end credits rolling across the screen. What are the chances longtime rivals would fall in love just because they're thrown together on a work project?
Less than 100 and more than 0.
Your optimism is nauseating.
I think that might be the gallon of ice cream you ate.
He cocked an eyebrow at the half-empty carton of French vanilla melting on the coffee table. Embarrassment crawled over my face, hot and itchy. I snatched my notebook back from him. You drink your beer, I eat my ice cream. Now, since the movie is over, it's time for us to part ways and go to sleep. Javier stared at me like I'd asked him to fly to the moon.
Are you joking? It's only 9.
He tapped his phone.
The night's barely started.
I hated how he always made me feel like a buzzkill, but a girl had to draw the line somewhere. I have no desire to get wasted.
Who said anything about getting wasted?
He stood and extended a hand to me.
Come on, it's time for your dance lessons.
I crossed my arms. Absolutely not. That was even worse than getting wasted.
So you enjoy looking like a malfunctioning robot every time you dance?
I don't... Breathe. I counted to 3 and tried again. I rarely dance. Therefore, I don't need lessons.
You go out with your friends all the time, so that's not true. Unless you're afraid of failing.
Javier dropped his hand and shrugged.
I understand. No one succeeds at everything.
That fucker. He was good. He was also clearly baiting me, but the competitiveness that had fueled my rise in the cutthroat PR world bristled at his taunt. Once it was triggered, there was no going back. Don't think I don't know what you're doing. I stood, ignoring memories of Madame Olga's pinched disapproval and Javier's present-day shit-eating grin. But I'll allow it just so I can wipe that smug look off your face. Let's go. Who was to say I hadn't developed a talent for movement overnight? Javier was laughing now, but I was going to make him eat his words. Chapter 8. Sloane.
I take back what I said about the malfunctioning robot,
Javier said.
I don't want to insult robots.
I dropped my arms and glared at him. If I had a better teacher, I'd be doing better. We were on the villa's terrace, where heated lamps warded off the late-night chill, and portable speakers played a medley of local and international music. Javier had insisted the outdoors would help me relax, but so far, I was embarrassed, frustrated, and no closer to improving my dance skills than when we started my lessons an hour earlier.
You have to loosen up.
Javier brushed off my indictment of his teaching abilities.
Dancing is about movement. You can't move properly if you're imitating a petrified piece of wood.
I'm loosened up. A defensive note crept into my voice. Also, might I remind you I could be sleeping right now instead of enduring your insults? I should walk away because there was nothing worse than trying my best and failing, but the competitor in me refused to give up. I was Sloane Kensington. I didn't fail, and I didn't quit. The only reason I'd stopped my childhood ballet lessons was because I outgrew my age group. Also, I was pretty sure I'd given Madame Olga an ulcer when she retired.
Yet you're here.
Javier placed his hands on my hips. I stiffened, every muscle turning rigid at the warmth seeping through my dress.
See what I mean about petrified wood?
He shook his head.
Pretend you're back at the spa. You're getting a massage. Your muscles are loose. Now move your hips like this. No, the other way.
His touch seared my skin and distracted me from his instructions. He probably had a fever from walking around shirtless all the time. He should really get that checked out.
Move them in a circle, Luna, not a square.
It is a circle.
No offense, but you might need to brush up on your geometry.
Javier's grip tightened, stilling my movements.
What are you thinking about?
Moving my hips in a circle.
That's your problem,
he said.
You shouldn't be thinking about that.
You just said—
You have to feel the movement. The more you think, the less natural it looks.
My teeth ground together in frustration. I'm sorry, but I like thinking. It's something I try to do on a daily basis.
That explains a lot.
Javier released me and stepped back. A cool wave of relief coasted through my chest, followed by an alarming pinch of disappointment? No, that couldn't be right. I waited for him to continue the lesson, but he simply studied me with that deep, dark gaze. Thick black hair fell carelessly over one eye, shielding his thoughts as the silence stretched into uncomfortable territory. There was a pensiveness to him that I rarely saw, and it molded his features into a devastating portrait Michelangelo himself would have been proud of. The dramatic slant of his cheekbones, the thick, dark brows, the sculpted mouth that seemed infinitely more inviting when it wasn't wearing a provocative smile. His face dared me to look away, and I couldn't. Electric awareness dripped into the air and snuffed out the oxygen. Javier and I had been alone many times before, but this was the first time I recognized the danger in him. Beneath the layers of indolent self-possession, there was a man who could set my world aflame if he wanted. God, what is wrong with me? I'd gone years without reacting to his presence in any discernible way, unless irritation counted. But ever since we arrived in Spain, my shields have slipped. Maybe it was the brief glimpses into a realer, more vulnerable side of Javier. The side that wasn't all about drinking and sleeping. Or maybe our spa day had rewired my brain. Whatever it was, I didn't like it. Self-preservation punctured my awareness right as he spoke again.
Let's get a drink.
He turned and walked toward the bar cart nestled in the corner. The remaining static fizzled into nothing as I tried to keep up with the whiplash. What about the lessons?
We'll resume after the break.
Javier grabbed two glasses and started mixing drinks right there in the middle of the terrace. My eyebrows skyrocketed. I'd never seen him make cocktails before, but he moved with the fluid grace of a seasoned bartender. So much for not getting wasted, I groused when he handed me an admittedly delicious-looking pale orange drink.
It's one drink. You won't get wasted unless you have the tolerance of a 5-year-old.
Javier's mouth tilted at the corner.
Salud.
I kept my eyes on his as I took a small sip. Fuck, that was good. Did you make this up on the spot? I didn't recognize the taste, and yesterday's party had cleared out half the bar, leaving only a handful of ingredients for him to work with.
You make do with what you have.
A roll of his shoulders, followed by a teasing smile.
I'm naming it the Sloan. Bitter at first, but with a sweet aftertaste. Just like someone I know.
You don't know how I taste. His smile took on a decidedly more wicked slant.
Not yet.
My body reacted, instantly and viscerally, like he'd flipped the on switch in a long untouched room. My breasts tightened as heat flickered between my thighs, turning my body warm and languid. Less than innocent images flashed through my mind before I wrestled them into a box and slammed the lid shut. No, absolutely not. I could not be having this reaction to Javier, of all people. this was what I got for ending my sex-only situationship with Mark. If I'd slept with him before I left, I wouldn't be so wound up. "How's delusion treating you?" I asked, striving for indifference even as I